From the Teacher's Manual of Principles of Church Life on the Baptism of the Holy Ghost, the question is, whoops, I got in the wrong page. The question is, and I'm going to back up for just a couple minutes and review the last three questions shortly, briefly, of the last lesson. What will the Holy Ghost give us according to Acts 8? It will give us power, right? How many people have an experience with God, but they don't have any power? Or how many people lift their hand and receive Christ as their Savior? Christian without power, you know. You got to have that engine under there and crank that thing up and put her in gear and press on that accelerator and go. Praise God. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You want power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. 35. What will the Spirit, which is of God, do for us, according to 1 Corinthians 2:12? It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How many want to go on in the Lord? See? Well, God will, when we get the Holy Ghost, God is there ready to freely give us the things of God. But when we get the Holy Ghost and then go back out in the world, the source is cut off. There's no mixing the world and the church. Somebody said, if a boat's in the water, that's okay. But when water gets in the boat, get nervous. And somebody said, it's all right for the church to be in the world, but when the world gets in the church, get nervous. Amen. And that's what we're trying to do. So what will the Spirit, which is of God, do for us, according to 2:12, 1 Corinthians? We have received not the spirit of the world. You want to go on in God? Receive the Spirit which is of God. That's what we receive, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Praise the Lord. People talk about they want to go on with God. They want to hear something deep or something, you know? Well, get the Holy Ghost and get to work. Start working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You want to know the things that are freely given to you of God? Get serious. Get that spirit of the world out and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And then He will guide you into all truth. You know, just coming to my mind on my feet here, you need guidance when you're looking for something. You know, if you're not looking for something, there's nothing. Who's going to guide you there? You don't need a guide. You got to be looking for something. And I'm looking for something. How about you? I'm looking for Jesus to come. Amen. And He's going to guide us into readiness for His coming. Amen. For when He's come, He shall not speak of Himself. What is the Holy Ghost according to Ephesians 1:14, which says, which is the earnest of our inheritance? That's what it is. The Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance until we get the whole inheritance. Right? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. In that word is number 728, earnest, and it means, I can't pronounce it, Ahraban, of Hebrew origin, number 61, 62. It means a pledge. That is part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. I like that. So you better not lose your earnest money. Huh? Better hang on to it. Keep it. Because you have the security for the rest. Keep that Holy Ghost. Keep it stirred up. Come to the altar. Kneel in your chair. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Someone said that earnest money is the first installment paid as a pledge that the rest will follow. What effect does the Holy Ghost have on our mortal bodies? But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Isn't it amazing the power that raised Jesus from the dead talks about the power that raised him from the dead. That's great. That's marvelous. That's supernatural. Would it interest me to know that that same power that raised Jesus from death dwells in me? That same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your body. That's an amazing thing. Just get full of the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit guide and lead us into all truth. Learn these things and believe these things. Wow! What a difference it will make in your Christian walk, in your faith in God, and in your life. When I say you, I mean you. You know, the whole wide world. Me. All of us. Hear it again. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And I wrote here, this is in the teacher's manual, the context, especially the first 16 verses of Romans 8, deals with pleasing God by living a Christian life empowered by the Holy Ghost. If you want to read about the resurrection, you want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 especially. This is not 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Romans chapter 8. He's not dealing with our resurrection from the dead. He's dealing with our Christian walk, our successful Christian walk, our victorious Christian walk, our victorious holy Christian walk. Now, if I died right here now, you could scream at me all night and say, well, raise yourself from the dead. Raise yourself. I couldn't do it. I could not raise myself from the dead, but I got one who can. And I die with faith in him, and he will do it. Praise the Lord. So the context here in Romans chapter 8 is dealing with pleasing God by living a Christian life empowered by the Holy Ghost. You could scream at me the rest of my life and tell me to live holy, live holy. I couldn't do it without being empowered by the Holy Ghost. Got it? Sure you do. Okay. The Apostle Paul elaborates on this subject in his epistles to the Ephesians and Colossians. For example, Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened. He's not talking about resurrection from the grave now. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what he's talking about. Dead in trespasses and sins, and he comes along and quickens us. I've always said this. When you see somebody drinking beer, getting drunk, taking dope or whatever, or you talk to them, invite them to church, and they didn't come, they lied to you. And people come to me and complain and say, he said he would come, but he didn't come. I said, what do you expect him to do? He's a sinner. You expect him to tell the truth? You expect him to be holy like you are? Justified in the Spirit? Washed in the blood? Filled with the Holy Ghost? What do you expect a sinner to do? Sin. What do you expect a bird to do? Fly. What do you expect a dog to do? Bark. What do you expect the cow to do? Moo. What do you expect the bird to do? Fly. You know, and so on. That's just the way it is. What do you expect a sinner to do? I expect him to sin. That's why when I walk by and I see a sinner, like that morning years ago, I walked through the park. I used to walk through the park a lot. And boy, it was getting bad in those days, and parties and all of that. And I remember walking through the park early in the morning. Must have been Saturday morning, and might have been Sunday morning. And I was just walking, meditating on the things of God, and I'd walked all the way through the park, you know, several miles there, and I looked ahead, and I saw garbage all over, beer bottles, beer cans, just everything there. And I just jumped up and down, and I cursed those people. No, I didn't. You know what I did? I went up there to that pile of filth, and I started crying. And I started cleaning it up with my bare hands. I put it in the garbage can. Brought the garbage can over and put the stuff in there. All the time I'm crying and I'm saying, Jesus, this is what you did for me. You cleaned up my mess after me. Who do I think I am? Looking down on the world, looking down on the sinner. My place is to bring the good news to them, the gospel to them. And it might cost you your life doing it. But this is the way I was taught. This is the way I read in the Bible. This is the way I understand it. Amen. So, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. They can't raise themselves from the dead. He has to quicken us. He has to deliver us from the power of sin. The sad thing is, when somebody's received Christ, been baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they go dead in trespasses and sins again. And when they do, they look for somebody to blame. It's got to be somebody in that church. It's got to be the pastor. I've been blamed for everything, folks. Somebody had got a divorce. You know whose fault it was? It was mine. You know why it was my fault? I'll tell you. The lady divorced her husband and said, it's Pastor Tambrick's fault. He didn't bring my husband up right. That's a fact. That's a fact. And my boy's backslid because Pastor Tambrick didn't this, didn't that. And this one's not coming back to church because Pastor Tambrick didn't. You know. But I know better. I know better. I know their excuses. You know. And what do I expect them to do? People that lose their Holy Ghost? What do I expect them to do? I expect them to gossip, and I expect them to criticize. I expect them to do those things that nobody should do. Right? Don't quit. Don't give up. Love God. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. 3:5, Colossians. Mortify therefore your members. What does that mortify mean? Kill them. Your members. Somebody says, oh, God wants me to cut my arm off, cut my leg off, cut my head off. No. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And here's what he calls them. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Bill Gothard said something like this: God's standards can only be kept by God's power working in us. If we try to keep them in our own strength, we will ultimately fail and experience discouragement and guilt. Okay, let me read that again. God's standards can only be kept by God's power working in us. And if we try to keep them in our own power, we're going to fail. And we're going to be discouraged, and we're going to experience guilt. So, he said, most of us respond by acknowledging that God's standards are just and plead for his mercy and grace and to be filled with his Spirit. Or, we lower God's standard to the point that we can keep them with our own energy. You talk about something going on in the church and in the world today. And when I say the church, I don't mean this church. I mean the church worldwide. You talk about something happening in the church today, that's what's happening. Churches aren't able to keep God's standard. Not my standard, God's standard. Not able to keep it. And so they lower the standard so they can keep it in their own energy. We need supernatural strength. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and live for God. So, let's learn this tonight. God's standards can only be kept by God's power working in us. If we try to keep them in our own strength, we're going to fail and experience discouragement and guilt. So, we have two choices right here. Acknowledging that God's standards are just and plead for his mercy and grace and to be filled with His Spirit. Or lower God's standards to the point that you can keep them with your own energy. That's a battle, isn't it? That's a battle. Personally, now this is me talking. Personally, I don't think it's hard living for God. I think it's the greatest joy of my life, being able to live for God. Personally, I'd like to help people that struggle to live a Christian life. What's the struggle? What's the struggle? Mortify it. Those members, he says, that are hindering you, giving you these problems. Well, I just said personally, no. I understand a lot of things. But I just love to see people come to the place where they're so full of the Holy Ghost that they love God so much and they love their Bible so much that this world has no appeal to them. You know, every time I go by the theater, my car just automatically turns in. My brakes go on. And every time I go in the grocery store and they got the liquor department there, I just can't hardly get by there, you know. I just have to turn my head. Oh, I wouldn't want to live a Christian life. Would you? No, aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? The power of God working in you. That's what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 8. He's saying, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's a lot of power. If that dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal flesh. It'll quicken this body so that it can live for God. Because you were dead in trespasses and sins. I guess what I'm saying, folks, is let's get to the place where there's no turning back. Brother Bennett preaches that to us so well. About not giving up, not turning back, about overcoming, about being victorious. And oh, how we need that. Amen. One way to prevent backsliding. One way to prevent falling into false doctrine. One way to prevent falling into false doctrine would be to stay in John 3:16 and Acts 2:38 and don't go any further. Then you won't get into false doctrine. In other words, don't read the Bible anymore. Just read John 3:16, Acts 2:38. Read no further, study no more, learn no more. John 3:16 will keep me safe and Acts 2:38 will keep me safe. That's the attitude some people have. But see, there's a problem there. And the problem comes when you read on. Because when you read on, it says study. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. And when you read on, you read something like, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Let us go on unto perfection. So, you don't just learn John 3:16 and Acts 2:38 and stay out of doctrinal problems. We got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We've got to go on unto perfection. How many love walking with Jesus? Praise the Lord. Amen. I wanted to stop at 8:30. I'll stop right here. Shall we stand? I want to give us plenty of time for fellowship tonight. What do you do? What do you do if somebody sins against you? What do you do if somebody says something you don't like? Well, maybe you have to deal with it, but ultimately, don't you forgive them? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? How many times should we forgive them? 7 times, Lord? No, 70 times 7. You know, in other words, develop a habit. 490 times will develop a habit. Forgive one another. Love one another. Don't look for faults in other people. Look for ways to help them. Praise the Lord. Jesus, I pray that you will take something that's been said tonight, oh God, and drill it home to our heads and our hearts, Lord, so that we can be victorious, overcoming Christians that love God and love the Bible and love walking with you, Jesus. I pray, God, save us. We're living in a dark and dangerous hour, Lord. Oh, it's fierce out there, Jesus. You said in the last days it would be this way, and it most certainly is, oh God. And you've given us this book to read, How to Save Ourselves. from this wicked and untoward generation. You have given us this book, Lord, to teach us right from wrong. And you have given us your Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Lord, to give us power to live above these things and to overcome, Lord. God, what a day. What a day of temptation for Christians, Lord. God, let us just grow above that stage, that category, that place, that plateau, Lord, and let us go on, full of the Holy Ghost, not looking to the right, not looking to the left, not being hindered or detoured by anybody, Lord, just focusing on heaven and on you and on that goal, Lord, going forward with fervor. In Jesus' name I pray. Bless this congregation, Lord. Bless this people, Lord. So many people here want to live right and do right, oh God. And Satan's always there to, as the world says, bug them and just wants to hurt them, destroy them. God, cleanse our minds. You said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I pray, God, that during the day and at the day's end, we'll open the Bible and we'll read the scripture, and the scripture will drive all other thoughts or temptations away. It is written. Teach us to say it is written and then find the place where it's written. Like you did, Lord, when you were in the synagogue and they brought the book to you, Lord. You found the place. Let us find the place. Let us say it is written. Let us read the verse. Let us memorize it. Let us be equipped, Lord, to battle the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, if anybody has any questions about anything I said tonight, please come and ask me. Don't ask somebody else what I meant. Come and ask me. Would you do me that kindness?